this, and pray for God to give us wisdom, God, to teach us to love the children He's entrusted into our care, and to help us to do the best by them. And I'll be having Miss Wilda's grandson in my class, so yeah, I got Braxton. Amen. So Miss Wilda's grandson is in my class this year. Did you hear me say that? So it'll be awesome. And these are our precious treasures. They are precious treasures. And my prayer to God has always been, in the beginning, Lord, teach me to love them like You love them. Because if you really learn to love them and fall in love with them, love conquers all. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love changes things. Amen? And so we do covet your prayers in the school system. It's a challenging job, but it's not just a job. It is a calling, I believe. And we need to lift up our teachers and our administration. And they are teaching our generations of the future. And as I said to our kids this morning, you don't have to wait till you're an adult and you've went through all the motions to be used by God. God will use you at whatever age you yield your heart to Him and you are attentive to His Spirit. God will speak to you. God will use you. I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt from a small child that God has continually showed Himself in my life, spoken to me through the years, and brought me to where I am today. He teaches us to know His voice. He teaches us to know His will and to trust Him in every situation. How many are thankful for the Holy Spirit as your GPS system, your guidance system? We have the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And so we have that, and it's a resource that I think that the more we learn to draw from it and the more we learn to tap into the presence of God that lives inside of us, the more that He works from the inside out, the more He leads and guides and directs our steps. The Bible declares and says to it that our steps are ordered and that God leads us. The Holy Spirit, He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you orphans, another translation says, but I'm going to come to you. And I will lead and guide you into all truth. Jesus is truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. And I don't want to do it any other way. I don't want to do it without Him. I don't know if I know how to do it without Him. It's been such a part of my life that I'm thankful for the presence of God in my life. I love what Miss Beth had to say this morning when she said this song. We sing it to Him, You're Worthy of It All. And He's so worthy. God is so worthy to receive our praise and our honor and our glory. But I think we do sometimes have a deficit and we don't find ourselves worthy to receive that all that God has for you. And I think we're guilty of sometimes saying, well, God will probably do that for them, but I just don't know that He'll do it for me. And so we sell ourselves short and think, well, but that person may be more spiritual, or that person may have more training, or that person. Can I just tell you that God used untrained people all the way through the Bible? He used unlikely characters. He used people who didn't know they had it in them. But when God began to call them, whom He calls, He qualifies. He doesn't always call the qualified. He qualifies those He calls. So it's really a lot of times about just answering. Samuel did not know the voice of God as a small child. But somebody had to teach him that when you hear that voice, Samuel, respond to it. One of the greatest mandates we have, I believe, as parents and as adults, is to teach the young ones to know the voice of God for themselves. If anything that this house or this church was founded on, it was the foundation of the belief that read the Word, know the Word, and know God for yourself. Yeah. If you've been here any amount of time, you know that that was a mandate of the matriarchs and the patriarchs, the founders of this house, that you know God for yourself. I would never tell you to believe it just because I say it. But you believe it because the Word says it. Because when the Word makes it real to you, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. Because you believe it because God has quickened it in your heart. God has made it real to you. There's many things in my life that I've experienced that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God has revealed that to me and shown His way to me. And one of those things is giving. I believe that you can't outgive God. I have seen God do in our lives so many things that I never dreamed of and never just thought could happen. But by the grace of God, He has blessed us. He has taken seed that we have planted, and He has multiplied it. And I give Him all honor and glory for that today. I'm so thankful for the blessings of God, and I am not foolish enough to stand here to think it's by my own works or my own hands or my own wisdom that God has brought it about, but by His faithfulness of taking seed that's planted and watering and bringing increase. Can anybody say amen to that today? We have a faithful God. You cannot outgive God. I believe He gives back good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I don't have to give. I get to give. I am blessed to give. And because of that, I want to sow back into what has blessed me and to ensure that the generations yet to come, amen, will always have a place where they can hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And that is my desire for this house. We're getting ready to have our big baptism service this evening. And we are going to do picnic and baptism. And we're going to have some fun time with the kids and play time and some good fellowship together. I believe it's important to fellowship. I believe it's important to get to know one another. And fried chicken's just a good way to do that. And they said amen over food. I dare say probably as many souls are won to the kingdom over a cup of coffee or food or around grandma's table than as there are that are come to the Lord in the house. You know what I'm saying? That we think sometimes we have a formula for getting saved or reaching out to people or witnessing, and sometimes it's as simple as just connecting with somebody. I always love the story of Philip when the Ethiopian eunuch is reading the scriptures and the Spirit speaks to Philip and he said, you need to go connect to him. And he goes over and connects to him, and he just starts talking, conversation. Who's he reading about? Who you? And the Ethiopian eunuch says to Philip, he said, who is the writer talking of? Isaiah. Is he talking of himself, or does he speak of another? And Philip says, let me just tell you about the message of the cross and the message of Jesus and that which I have received and that I've experienced and that I have witnessed. Let me just share my story with you. And when he shares his story with the Ethiopian eunuch, he said, hey, what hinders me from being baptized? What could stand in the way of me receiving Jesus Christ as my personal Savior? And he said, nothing. He takes him into the water and he baptizes him right there. That connection, you know, with somebody who can just connect you together. Aren't you thankful for the powerful connection of the body of Christ? Hallelujah. I'm thankful that we connect. I think we need physical connection. I think we need physical touch. I think that, you know, that the scripture said that we have healing by the laying on of hands. And I think that's just by physical touch sometimes, a handshake, a hug, and all of those kind of things. And I believe that the laying on the hand of impartation and all of that kind of stuff. But we live in such an environment now that even media is such a powerful tool that you can go to, you know, internet and things like that most of the time and find some kind of preaching or message of the gospel. I was able to tune in last night and watch where Lynn is in Alabama and hear, you know, some preachers preaching while I'm doing my study and I'm listening to the gospel and I'm getting fed while I'm writing my notes out. And so I'm thankful for that, that we're not just connected in this body, but we're connected to the body of Christ. And a lot of those will assemble here in September, ministries from all over and people that will come together with one heart and one mind, and that is to see the kingdom of God come to pass here in this earth, the power and the demonstration of the kingdom of God activated. And so we've been talking about baptism for the last couple of weeks, the reason for baptism, the need for baptism. It's an outward sign of an inward work. It's the identification that just as his death, his burial and resurrection, that we were crucified with Christ, we are buried with him in baptism, we are resurrected with him into new life, all things are passed away, behold, all things become new. And so we identify that with him in baptism. And so I want to talk a little bit this morning just about obedience. Everybody say obedience. I believe that baptism is a step of obedience, but I believe that God wants to lead us not just from there. Some people do it as a renewal. Some people do it for their first time. It's your identification. It's your proclamation that that old person is dead, but then we send out a birth announcement that says, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. And what we understand in that is, I'm a new creature, I'm a new creation, I'm an immature new man. See, when I first got saved, I didn't know everything about the scriptures. I didn't know everything about Jesus. I didn't understand how it all worked. I had not really been exposed to the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and the power of speaking in tongues and all those kind of things. I didn't understand a lot of those things, but it didn't keep me from being a born-again Christian. Amen? And we sometimes think, well, I don't know a lot of that stuff. Well, I wish I could tell you today that I do know it all or have figured it all out, but I think we'll be in the eons and centuries of time figuring out really what all happened at the cross of Calvary and his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Yeah. But what I do believe, it is the step that leads us to a spirit-filled, powerful, anointed life that we no longer live just out of our own flesh, but we lived after the Spirit of God. And so there's many times when I'll just say, Holy Spirit, you need to show me today. Dear Lord, please give me wisdom. Give me the direction. Show me the path. Help me, you know, Becca asked for prayer this morning. You know, when life changes are coming your way, my prayer is, Lord, direct my steps. Order my steps. Because your word declares that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Do we have any righteous people in here this morning? Terry and Becca, the only two righteous people in the house. So your all steps are ordered of the Lord today, but Monty just lives with a righteous person, he says. But we sometimes are hesitant to say that, oh yeah, I'm the righteousness of God, because we automatically, what do you do when you look in the mirror? You look for imperfections more than you look for perfection, right? You look in there to see what you got to fix about yourself. But I want to tell you this morning that the word declares that you are righteous today. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Beth told you already, you're worthy. You are the righteousness of God through Christ. That's what the scripture says. Corinthians said, for he that knew no sin became sin, that you could become the righteousness of God. It's the best trade-off you'll ever get. He took my sin. He died not only for me, he died as me at the cross of Calvary when he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I will reach out my arms as far as the east is from the west, and I will gather every man into myself, every sin, sickness, poverty, and death. I will crucify at the cross of Calvary. I will bury it in the grave, and then I will resurrect again with new life in Christ. So you have been resurrected with Christ. Paul said, not I, but Christ who lives within me. And the life that I now live, I live after the power of the cross. I live after the life of Christ. I now live out of that life. When the woman at the well came to the well, he said, I don't want to just give you a drink. I want to put the river inside of you. See, when we go to the baptism, we're going to go down in the river, but what that does is put the river inside of you. I love that, because he said, out of your belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. It's not enough just to go into the river. You've got to get the river inside of you. It's the life of Christ. And as I was thinking about obedience, you know, we sometimes say, you know, I don't know how to live this life, or I don't know what I'm supposed to do, and I don't know the rights and wrongs. And wouldn't it be easy if we just got a list and said, this is the things you do, this is the things you don't do, and it's cut and dry like that? Like, wouldn't that be easy? Did anybody see the Facebook clip that I post about the sheep? Yeah, it's about all these sheep, and then there's one sheep that had run into a tire swing and got stuck in the tire swing, and there it went, just swinging back and forth and back and forth, and it was like, you all know that one sheep, right? It always seems like they're living in chaos, that one sheep that's always got to act up, you know, that kind of stuff. But anyway, it was just a cute clip. Wasn't directed at anybody in here, by the way. It was just, but we sometimes, you know, think, well, if I could just find the right list of do's and don'ts, then I've got this figured out. But my thing and my instruction to you has always been, if it's okay with the Holy Ghost, it's okay with me. Because that's what the Holy Ghost is in you. That's the voice of God in you. And I can tell you many times over the years that the Spirit of God has checked me and said, it's not who you are. That's not where you want to be. That's not what your future holds. Don't stop there. Don't go there. Pull into a place and it doesn't feel right. Keep right on going. You know, get a feeling while you're driving. Back off the speed a little bit. Find out there's an accident ahead. Those kind of things. Your kids are away. They're in college or they're at school or you're not sure where they're at. And all of a sudden something hits your spirit and you start praying. Say, Lord, put your arms around my family. Protect my kids. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the voice of God inside of you that speaks to you and gives you that little nudge. I wish I could say I've always followed it, I've always known it, I've always recognized it. But I'm thankful for His grace that He teaches us His ways. He teaches us to be sensitive. And my prayer is, Lord, teach me to be sensitive to Your voice. Because if You're speaking and You're directing, I know You've got it. You've got this. You've got this. You've got me in the palm of your hand. As a matter of fact, Isaiah said, you've got me tattooed in the palm of your hand. And that tattoo looks a whole lot like a nail print from the cross of Calvary. I'm bought with a price. I was expensive. I was expensive. My honey tells me I'm high maintenance. I think he really means I'm expensive. I don't know if that's what. But I just want to tell you, Jesus paid a big price for you because you're worth it. You're worth it. And so in talking about obedience today, I'll go to Philippians 2 first. And it says, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Hey, that's all right. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, what? Which was also in, what mind? Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, or reverence and respect. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You need to be thankful this morning that it is God, what? That worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is His pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is God working in you. It is not you working to get to God. For how many years have we thought that we had to work to get to God? And hopefully if we lived and in our last breath had not done anything or had not sinned, that we might make it into heaven by the skin of our teeth. I want you to know it is God that works in you to will and to do His good pleasure. Somebody say, He's still working. On me. And I am a work in progress. I'm thankful for the progression of that. But my salvation is secured. I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that what? Which I have committed unto Him against that day. What do you want God to keep? Whatever it is, we commit it to Him. God, I commit that to you. I commit my family to you. I commit my finances to you. I commit my emotions to you. I commit my daily chores to you. I commit my life, my direction, my calling. I commit those things, Lord, to you because you are able to keep what I have committed. And so when he talks about obedience, obedience is not required of you outside of Christ. How many know Jesus modeled obedience for us? The scripture said that he became obedient even unto the death of the cross. Him who was found in the likeness of God and identified with God found himself and fashioned himself in the form of a man. And became obedient to the death of the cross so that we could, he identified with our human nature so that we could identify with his deity. Hallelujah. He became like me so I could become like him. He became of like passions like we are so that we could have this same mind. That mind that was in Christ, let it also be in you. He became like us. So that we could become like him. It's an awesome empowerment of the gospel. But I thought about the power of one single act of obedience. One single act of obedience. And when I was thinking last night, you know, of scriptures and things like that to do with obedience, I thought about, you know, when Jesus stood on the shore that day and he had just come out of being tempted in the wilderness with Satan and he come along the shore and he saw some fishermen and he said to them, what? Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now, that's all that the gospel records for us that he said, right? Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. You know how to catch fish in the natural, but I want to take who you are in the natural, and I want to show you how I'm going to bring you into the power of the kingdom. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And I often thought, what would it be about the sound of that salutation, the sound of that calling? What was so powerful about that, that it let generations of businessmen who had been generational fishermen, who had a family business, who were successful in what they were doing. They were fishermen. They had boats. They had come from the background of that. But at the sound of the voice of Jesus said, follow me, and I want to make you fishers of men. What is it that makes them drop everything that they've got, everything that they've known, and follow this Nazarene to where he might take them? And oh, the journey that they would embark upon. Oh, the things that they would see. Oh, the things that they would experience, because one single act of obedience took them out of everything that they have known for all over time and sometimes maybe had become very mundane to them, but yet they stepped out of that comfort zone. They stepped out of that box. Do you know what keeps us from being successful most of the time in our life is fear of stepping out of what we know. What is comfortable, what is familiar to us. Because I can navigate waters that are familiar to me. I can navigate places. You know what makes me nervous about going to big cities? Everything. Yeah, pretty much everything, right? What makes me nervous about, like, I know how to drive, right? I know how to push the gas pedal. I know how to push the brake. I know the turn. I know how to drive. But when I get in a situation that I don't know where I'm going and I don't know what lane I'm supposed to be in, and there's 14 rows of cars beside me on every direction, I'm fearful because I don't know what's coming up, right? Anybody in the house with me? I don't know what's coming up. But you get me somebody on the other side of me who's got the GPS system that says you're going to make a left turn and you need to get in the left lane right now. My anxiety level goes way down. Now, I'm not going to tell you I like it, but I'm going to tell you it's some waters that I can navigate because I trust my navigator, or I trust because I know the next step. But I'm going to tell you, there's times in your life where you've got to step out of comfort and you've got to step out of familiar and take a step in a direction and say, Lord, I don't know where you're taking me and I didn't see this coming, but you've never left me. You've never forsaken me. You've never failed me. You've always had my best interest at heart. You've always cared about me. You raised me up when I was a child and thought I had nothing to offer, and you have brought me to where I'm at, and you're not going to leave me here. But you're going to take me to where you want to take me. I got promises yet unfulfilled. I got prophecies yet unfulfilled. I got things yet to do. And I trust God to get me where we need to go. He spoke to me a couple years ago, as plain as I can, you know, not an audible voice, but spoke in my spirit. I know where I was. I'm just not sure what part of the country I was in. But he said to me, Lisa, your dreams are not big enough. And I said, wow, because I thought I had some pretty good dreams. But I was comfortable where I was. And then God began to shift things. And he has made some avenues open. And he has taken his direction. And I say, God, I'm not sure how we got here. But I have to trust you. My daily prayer, my husband and I pray every morning, Lord, give us wisdom in decisions and in the paths that we take. Because if you guide our steps, I am confident that you will perform your perfect will in our lives. That's what I want. That's what I want. It's not about bank accounts. It's not about fame. It's not about success. It's not about fortune. It's about living in a place where you know that God's purpose of your life is being walked out. You have peace to know you're where you need to be for this season. Amen. And God may shift directions, and he may shift seasons, and he may sort some things around. But God, I trust you to take me to where you want to take me. I said to our kids this morning, do not ever let anybody talk you out of your dreams. Because there will always be people who think they have your best interest at heart and say, you're not ever going to afford that. You're not smart enough to go there. That's never going to happen for you. And if you believe them, it'll be true. But sometimes you got to step outside of the fishing boat. You got to step outside of the fishing boat to get something bigger than the boat you're in. How many know God wanted to show those disciples a bigger boat than they had ever seen? And I love that he starts with a fishing story and he ends with a fishing story. Do you know that? Jesus was a fisherman. He starts with, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. That's all he tells them. What kind of crazy people drop their nets and follow this Nazarene who they don't know anything about and follow him, not even knowing if he knows how to fish? I'm not only going to make you fishermen, I'm going to show you how to open the eyes of the blind. I'm going to show you how to seek out a young child that has their hands filled because they came from a church that poured into a generation and poured into kids and said, you have something to give, so that when they get the presence of the multitude, they can say, hey, I got something. It's not a lot, but I'm going to give you what I got. And in the hands of Jesus, he can take it and feed a multitude, because somebody packed some little boy's lunch full of fish and bread. And Jesus is able to take what has been imparted into us and feed a multitude. I'm not only going to make you fishers of men, I'm going to show you how to feed multitudes with nothing. God has done that at Word of Deliverance Youth Camp for many years. It doesn't make sense to have youth camp financially. I'm just going to tell you flat out, it doesn't make sense. It's too expensive. But we have never one year went without having what we needed to provide and meet the need for the generations. I'm telling you, we have packed some lunches. We have packed some kids full of some lunches over the years. And I'm waiting to see the return of he said, cast your bread on the waters and it will return to you after many days. Now I'm going to tell you, I believe when you sow into generations, it comes back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. That is the faithfulness of God. Follow me. I'll show you how to raise your mother-in-law from the dead with sickness and fever. I'll show you how to call Lazarus to come forth. I'm going to show you how to turn water into wine. Follow me and I'll make you fishers and men. He starts with a fishing story, because God is going to get your attention where you are right here, right now. He wants to take every skill, every talent that you have. Maybe your best skill right now is being a good mom or being a good grandma. Don't ever count that less than somebody else's gifting or talent. You are sowing into the nations. You are sowing into the generation that God gave to you. And it's powerful. And so he takes them through all of that. And when he gets them to the end of the story before his ascension, what does he do? They're back out on the fishing boat, right? And it's not working. Because once he's taken you on the journey of your life, you can't go back to being what you were before. Because there's something inside of you that says there's more to this story than I ever thought. See, I can't go back to doing what was comfortable. I can't go back to being what I used to be. I've done been exposed to too much. I've done been too close to Jesus to walk away now. But sometimes in that transition, we get nervous and we don't know what else to do. So what do? We find what's comfortable. We find what's safe. And when they go out in the fishing boat, it's not working. Because it's not what I called you to, bigger things. You got any meat? No. Then cast your net on the right side of the ship. And when they do that, you know the story. I don't want to re-preach all that, but he bring the fish in. Can I just tell you, Jesus did not need their fish. He fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's not your ability so much that God needs as it is your obedience that he needs. When you are obedient in the little things, he can trust you with the bigger things. You know, we have to teach our kids to be obedient, to obey. That when I say this, this is what we want. We're not talking out of it. We're not pushing it to the limit. This is what, there's a reason why I ask you to do what I ask you to do. Yeah. Obedience. And when he can trust you with the little things, he can trust you with bigger things. He doesn't need their fish. He needs their obedience. He needs them to know the sound of his voice, because when the fish net comes in full, it clicks in Peter's head and he says, oh, that's the Lord. As a matter of fact, that's the voice I heard on the shore when he called my name and I answered. Do you remember the moment in your life when God called your name? When he began to deal with your heart, when you couldn't get it out of your head, and you just said, Lord, I receive you. I repent of my sin. I accept you as my Savior. I receive you. Something clicks in Peter, That's the Lord. And when he sets down on the by the fire, lunch is already ready. I mean, what's better than bread and fish on the fire, right? Fish sandwiches for lunch fixed by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Like, if fish isn't enough, like bread, right? Like bread is, we know bread is manna from heaven. God honors manna. He honors bread. Bread is my friend. And he sits down on the shore with them. Look, it's not for him to give them another fishing lesson. Right now, all he needs to them to do is identify. Guys, when I called you in the beginning, I told you I'd make you fishers of men. I didn't tell you the journey we were going to go on together. But here we are now again, and all you need to know is you love me. I love you. Peter, do you love me? He never says to him, Peter, did you deny me? Peter, did you go fishing again? He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, man, you know, Lord, I love you. He said, then just feed my sheep. Just do what you've been called to do. If you love me, love my sheep. Love my lambs. Love my little ones. Because it's not over yet, Peter. You might think it's over. You might think you've blown it. And you might have times in your life, you might go down in baptism and you might come up and say, man, I'm going to walk on out of water. Walk on water out of here. If you do that, that's all right. We'll probably all be shouting. And chances are you're not going to walk on water out of there. And you're going to take every step one by one. But here's what I want you to know. No matter where your feet go, the question is, do you love me? Because I love you, Peter. And there's nothing that you can do outside of me that could ever remove my love from you. What can separate me from the love of God? Can tribulation or peril or nakedness or sword or all these things? No. The scripture says nay. King James says nay. I say nope. No, but you are more than conquerors through Christ. And you've been called and purposed, and you're anointed. The gifting of God is in your life. And when you say yes to Jesus, you begin on a journey. Can anybody in here say, man, it started me on a journey that I had no idea where it was going to end up. I had no idea that that one act of obedience was going to take me or my family or my generations to where I am today. One act of obedience. Naaman, the leper. You know Naaman. He has leprosy. The scripture says, man, he is a captain. He is a military guy. He's high in ranks. He's got accolades. He's got everything. And it says, but he was a leper. He had a weakness. He had spots. But there's a little maiden that says, would to God that my master Naaman knew the prophet that was on in Israel, because he could heal him of his leprosy. A little maiden said, if Naaman will find the prophet, if he could allow the prophetic work to operate in his life, he could be healed of his weaknesses, of his spots. And so he sends him out, and Naaman gets all the chariots, and he gets all of his equipment, and he goes to the house of the prophet, and he brings like 10 raiments of clothes, and he brings silver and gold and all this stuff. And he gets there, and he says, I want to be healed of leprosy. The prophet doesn't even come out to this great man. He said, tell him to go dip 7 times in the Jordan, and he'll be clean. And he goes away angry and sorrowful and said, wait a minute, isn't Abana and Pharfar in the other rivers better than Jordan, that I should go wash in the muddy Jordan? And his servants said to him, if he'd asked some big thing of you, you'd have done it. But because it was a simple act of obedience, one act of obedience, I declare to you that sometimes we are one act of obedience away from God doing the miraculous in our life. All I need you to do is just obey. Don't reason it out. Don't figure it out. Don't calculate it. Because most of the time it doesn't work on paper. I just need you to respond and be obedient to the prophetic voice that said, if you'll go, you can be healed. And his servant said, if he'd ask a big thing of you, some kind of military act or something, you'd have done it. But all he's asked of you is just be obedient. And he goes down grumbling and says, all right. Can I just tell you, if the Jordan's all right for Jesus, it's all right for me. Your Jordan is your Calvary. It's your place where you identify and say, I'm going to go be obedient to his death on the cross. And he goes down and he dips. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. And I wonder if sometimes if we don't stop short of, well, I'll go, but I'm not going to do it that way. And I wonder if we're not one number away from doing just being obedient and God saying, just follow my instruction. Follow my instruction. There's times where I felt like the Lord has spoke things to me and I was afraid to do it. I was didn't want to embarrass somebody or I was embarrassed or whatever and I didn't do it. And man, do I wish I could have do-overs sometimes to go back and do that over. I'm so thankful for his grace. I'm so thankful for his grace that even when I don't always get it right, he got it right for me. And it was only on the seventh time that Naaman stood up. And when he stood up in obedience, he realized he was made whole. See, it's our obedience to the death of the cross. I didn't have to die. He died for me. And then I identify that death in my baptism. When we are obedient to his will, he causes things to miraculously become new again. It said his flesh turned again as a little child. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I'm hoping when I get out of that Cape and State Park out there today, my flesh comes back as a little child. Be awesome, right? That'd be awesome. But it does in our spirit. That's what I want you to know and identify. I'm joking, but I'm not. I'm serious today. The power of his Holy Spirit to make all things new in your life by one single act of obedience. Stop the world and let me off, or change my world. And he did. If you'll save me, I'll serve you. And he did. They asked Peter, who's going to pay your taxes? Does your master pay taxes? He said, Peter, it's a fish story again. Peter, go to the sea. The first fish that you catch, pull it in. The treasure is in the fish's mouth. The coin's in the fish's mouth. When we leave here today, he has called us to be fishers of men. To the first fish you come to, the first catch, look for the treasure that's in their mouth. Because the treasure that's in the fish that you catch, or the soul that you win, or the person that you lead to Christ, there is a treasure in there. And that treasure may just be what you need at one point to meet your need and to settle your debt. There's a treasure in the fish's mouth. Look for the treasure. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. One single act of obedience could change your whole environment, your whole world, and your whole history. Do you believe that this morning? Stand to your feet with me this morning. One single act of obedience. Would have the impact. Who knew that one act would have the impact that it would?
I never dreamed without a high school education, mother of seven kids, and God says, I want you to preach. I thought, I have no idea what to do to preach, you know, never went to Bible college. But I tell you what, when God got a hold of my heart and really planted that seed, I couldn't lay that Bible down. I mean, every minute I had to sit down, I had that Bible in my hands. And I ate that thing. I mean, I consumed it. And I thought, you know, Sister Jenny said I couldn't drive, so I thought I'd never get off the hill.
We couldn't get to the grocery store, much less get to the...
get to the nations. But I tell you what, God has a way of working around situations that you never believe. And you, even when you see it, sometimes you don't believe it. But I can sit here right now and say, this garden spot here that was nothing but our green bean patch and our potato patch and our corn patch turned out to be a patch that catches fish instead, and has brought the Word of God from Word of Deliverance Church around the world. And thank God for the facilities that we have today that takes it around the world. But I mean, literally, we have gone around the world. And like you said last night, you sat and listened to Lynn preach in Alabama over the internet, you know. And who would have dreamed all that, Lisa? We would have never had any of those ideas, even in our wildest dreams. But thank God for the act of obedience, that I believed God. If he said I could do it, I could do it. And started out little, but it grew, and it grew, and it grew. And I thank God today for the garden that it has raised up. Hallelujah.
And it's not over yet. So don't think that I sit here today and I'm not seeing it yet. It's not over yet. Declare it, walk in it, receive it, believe it, stand on it, because God is able to do it. Hallelujah. 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 Leah, there is a new glow. There is a supernatural work that's taken place in you. And God is, there's an anointing on your family. You know that. But God just wants to make all things new. All things new. And I'm thankful that he's a God of do-overs, that He never cast us aside, and as far as the east is from the west, he remembers our sins no more, but that his anointing is more powerful than any actions or reactions that we have. But there has been a freshness, a newness that shows in your face and in your heart, but God has truly turned your heart. And I just want to declare over you, woman of God. I want to declare over you, woman of God, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And that you have become a Proverbs woman that can laugh without fear of the future. That God is restoring your laughter. Your laughter and your joy is coming back, woman of God. And he's going to put a dance in your feet. But it's going to start in your heart first. It's going to start in your heart first. It's already started in your heart. And I declare that no weapon formed against you can prosper. No weapon formed against your family can prosper. That when you will rise up as a woman of God and say, I am what I am by the grace of God. Here go I. Hallelujah. Watch her go. Watch her go. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If that ministers to you this morning, and I don't have to call your name out, if that ministers you this morning, just say, I'll take that. Just reach out and grab a hold of it. Let's just love on him a little bit this morning. If you need prayer, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you need filled with the Holy Ghost, whatever it is you need this morning, just reach out and receive it. We're glad to pray with you. Our altars are always open. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.